You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
What I want you to think about tonight is, where are you and can you see where you want to be? And maybe has the enemy convinced you that you can't get from where you are to where you want to be? And in this series, God is going to say, I would like to speak into that question. And I want to try to help you understand that through Christ, you can move into a place of victory in your life. And the way it's going to happen is when you learn how to win the battle of your mind. So we're not talking about victory and some accomplishment or victory and a sporting endeavor. We're talking about victory in life. We're talking about victory over our thoughts, victory in our attitudes, victory in our emotions. We're talking about mental stability and health and moving into purpose and living the life that God has designed us to live. And God wants you to know, if you don't get anything else out of this message tonight, that you can live in victory. Because he already is in a story of victory, and he's inviting you into that story. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, victory is not circumstantial. It doesn't matter what the situation is around you, it doesn't matter about your family, your past, your genetics, what's been done to you, what's been spoken to you, what you've done, what you haven't done. Victory isn't about what's happening around you. Victory is about the state of your mind. And the enemy knows this, and so his attack, his main focus in your life right this moment is to attack your thought life. And if he can win the battle of your mind, then he has won the battle of your life. Victory tonight can be yours starting right now. You don't need circumstances to change. You don't need the situation to improve. You can step into victory tonight by changing the way that you think. Even at the beginning of our story, Genesis chapter 3, it's a perfect setup. Situation was great. Circumstances were paradise. Adam and Eve are in God's story, but the serpent was also in the story. In Genesis 3, you know the text, what it says, and the serpent was more crafty than all of the creatures that God had made. Reading in verse 1 of chapter 3. And then he said, the serpent, to the woman, did God really say? Now, can we just maybe try that really say together? Did God really say? You get the attitude, right? The accusation, the cutting of the knife. Did God really say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And then she answers correctly, no, that's not what he said. We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. He answers, not giving up too easily, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good from evil. So when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What did the enemy do in the Garden of Eden? He didn't come right up to Eve and say, eat the fruit, eat the fruit, eat the fruit. No, he planted a seed of doubt in her mind, basically saying, God's holding out on you, God can't be trusted, and maybe God's intentions aren't good. Now, we don't know how the timeline worked out here. We know 6 days creation, seventh day God rests. We know now it's eighth day, and we sort of assume that about 9:15, the serpent came to Eve, and by 11:30, she'd already eaten the apple, and everything fell apart and unraveled by lunchtime on the eighth day. But we don't know that. It could have been that the serpent came, planted the seed in her mind. A day went by, a week went by, a month went by, a season went by where she's looking at that tree every single day going, I don't know, it does look good. I don't know. Maybe God is holding out on me. I don't know. Maybe God can't be trusted. Maybe God's intentions aren't good. But the seed that he planted eventually took hold, and she did what we do. She acted out what she had been thinking about. And she took the fruit of the tree and she ate it and she died. And I wonder today, what seed or what thought has God planted in your, has the enemy planted in your mind? What thought right now is in your mind planted there by the serpent, who is craftier than all the creatures? Is it a thought that says, I can't? Is it a thought maybe already into the series that you knew was about victory, that you already have a seed planted in your mind that says, this isn't gonna work for me? I mean, I'm here, I'm at the five, I'm in the building, but I already have a seed planted in my mind of doubt that this is gonna work for me. Or maybe you're somewhere halfway in the middle, and maybe the thought that the enemy planted in your mind was, hey, it might help a little bit, but don't get your hopes up, because whatever change comes isn't gonna last, because it never lasts with you. And already the enemy has planted a seed of doubt in your mind. If you have a spirit of negativity, who planted that there? Did he plant a critical spirit in your mind? Has he planted a thought in your mind that says that you are defeated, that you're not worth much, that no one loves you, that you're all you've got, that it's up to you, that no one believes in you, that you'll always be this way? Has he planted a thought in your mind that's occupying your mind right now, incubating in your mind right now, that says you will feel better if you sin? Has he planted a thought in your mind that says, what if this whole God thing is a hoax? What if he planted a seed in your mind that said you're entitled to getting what you want? You deserve to be bitter. You deserve to be greedy. You deserve to be selfish. You deserve to be angry. Thought maybe that says you are your failure. You are your addiction. Or maybe on the flip side, he planted a thought in your mind that said you deserve all your success. It's all yours. Or maybe he planted a thought in your mind that just said you're not enough. You see, the enemy knows that the battle isn't going to be external. It's going to be internal. And he knows if he can lodge a thought in your thinking that settles in your heart and it goes unchecked, that it ultimately will take root. And as the proverb writer said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Ultimately, if you harbor that thought and you let it take up residence in your heart in time, maybe in a day, could be a week, could be a month, he doesn't mind waiting you out a lifetime. You will in time act on that thought. And maybe now you're saying, well, it's just a thought. It just went through my mind. It's just a scenario that I'm playing out in my mind. I'm telling you, all the thoughts that we let stay around in our minds ultimately become reflected in our behavior. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I'm thinking about this story of when they sent the 12 spies into the promised land, and 10 of them came back, and their report was deception. A seed had been planted in their minds. Yes, the men that they saw were huge. They were giants. But what they said, two things that stuck out to me. They said, number one, when we saw them, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And that kind of makes sense to me. But the second phrase was like, where did you get that? And they said, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. And I was like, how do you know what you look like in their eyes? Did you ask them what they thought about you? Did you have any dialogue, any communication? No, there was no communication between the spies and the giants. The spies just got deceived by the enemy into thinking you're grasshoppers to yourself, and they think you're grasshoppers too. And a seed was planted in their minds. And for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And they never tasted the promise of God for their life because of a seed that got planted in their heart. What has the enemy planted in your mind? It's probably circling around five words: fear, worry, temptation to do something stupid, say something stupid, think something stupid. No, no one's struggling with that. Thank you. Me and you. We'll meet later. We'll talk. Everybody else came in tonight. I'm so excited to come to worship. I am free from temptation. But most of the people in the building tonight probably have a seed been planted somewhere in your mind to do something dumb, say something dumb, think something dumb. Temptation, fear, worry, temptation, lack of worth or value is the fourth thing that's planted in so many hearts in this room right now. I don't matter. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovely enough. God would never love me. And fifth, that seed of uncertainty. I think of those five seeds probably covers everybody in the building. Uncertainty, I don't know what to do. I'm paralyzed. I can't make a decision. I'm not sure I'm gonna do the right thing. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know if there's gonna be a plan. I'm just totally like a ship out here without a sail, just floating along in the current. And I have all this uncertainty in my life. I wanna tell you something. Your Father doesn't put uncertainty in your life. Your Father doesn't put that you're not valuable in your life. Your Father doesn't tempt you. The Bible says he can't be tempted with sin and he doesn't tempt you with sin. Your Father does not want you to worry, and your Father is trying to free you from fear. So if there is fear on your battlefield, worry on your battlefield, temptation on your battlefield, I'm not good enough on your battlefield, or uncertainty on your battlefield, guess what? The enemy has showed up and planted a seed on the battlefield of your mind. And it may have been sitting there a day, a week, a month, or for some of you have been sitting there as long as you can remember. And you can see where you want to be. You just don't know if you can get there. It's kind of like those spies. They went into the promised land. They said, it is in fact full of milk and honey. It is in fact amazing land. It is as good as they said it was. I mean, it's pretty awesome what God has promised to us. And we saw it. In fact, we actually went and walked there for a minute. But you know what? The enemy won the battle of our minds. And guess what? We don't believe that we can get to the promised land. Oh, there is one. In fact, I can see it. But I don't believe that I can get to the victory. If you're thinking that, the deceiver is on the battlefield of your mind. And he wants to destroy you. See, this isn't like another series for the year. This isn't, oh, this will be a fun thing to do for a few weeks. This is life and this is death. This is your future. This is your family. This is your sanity. This is your calling and your destiny. This is your promise. This is everything God has made you to be. And I'm telling you, the enemy is real and he has a real plan, and it is to shut you down and destroy your life. And he's got no mercy and all the time in the world. And he'll wait you out by planting seeds. And most people, the average Christian, does not know what to do with the seed that the enemy plants in their mind. But I'm telling you, this story tonight is a story of the gospel of Jesus. It's not gonna be a message about what you have to do to get the superpowers you need to break through the barriers that are keeping you from what God has for your life. That's not the message tonight. Our story is the gospel of Jesus. So the message tonight is the Son of God came on planet Earth to get to the place that he wants you to be. And he came and actually broke through the barriers himself. He didn't say to you, come on, get some guts and run up there and do that. He didn't say to you, come on, man, you know, grow up, if you will, and go over there and take that land. No, Jesus actually was the one who took the land that was lost. So when Eve ate the fruit, she died. And when she died, it permanently barricaded man from reaching the potential that God had for their lives, unless God would make a way. And he did. I love how the story of Genesis 3 is sort of sad and frustrating in the first few verses, and it really doesn't end all that amazing, but there is this little hope in verse 15, talking about the fruit of what's gonna happen. God says, okay, to the land, this is what you're gonna get. To Adam and Eve, this is what you're gonna get. And then he says to the serpent, and this is what's coming to you. Are you ready? Verse 15, I'm gonna put enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. And that meant not the son of Adam and Eve, but it meant in the line of Adam and Eve was gonna come someone named Jesus. And that's who was already being spoken about in the Garden of Eden. And he said, there's gonna be a war, if you will, between your offspring and her offspring, but here's how that war is gonna end. The war is gonna end, the last verse with, you're gonna bruise his heel, but ultimately he is gonna crush your head. Ultimately, in the first few pages, here's how it's gonna end for you, Satan. Jesus is gonna win the victory, and he's gonna win the victory by crushing your head. Therefore, thank you, Crowder, for bringing that to life in a phenomenal way. Sorry to scare the kids. But where does this idea come from of crushing snakes? It comes right from the early part of our narrative. The victory ultimately is gonna be won by Jesus, who's gonna crush the head of the serpent. Now he's gonna take some blows, but ultimately he's gonna crush your head. So we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about this at Passion 2020, this Greek word victory, nikos. This is how you peel open this Greek word. It's victory, particularly the results of a conquest. In the New Testament, this victory always refers to the conquest accomplished for the believer by Christ, which conquered all the powers of darkness and all the powers of sin. Accordingly, death cannot exert conquest over the believer. And so while we were stuck and trapped, being able to see where we needed to go, but not able to get where we needed to go, Jesus comes on the scene, and this is the big message tonight, Jesus storms the gates of hell. If you want a victory, you gotta have a war. And there was a war on the cross. There was a war in that tomb. There was a war when Jesus went down into the depths of the earth. And there was a war when he came raised up out of the grave, alive forevermore, the firstborn back from the dead. And this is why we sing, and it's not hype. We're taking back our freedom. The battle has been won. We have been liberated. And back from the dead, we've come. Jesus storms the gates of hell, breaks through the barriers, and does something amazing for you and me. He puts a flag in the ground called victory. He's not in a process of putting a flag in the ground. He's already put the flag in the ground. He's not on his way to conquering sin and death. He's done conquering sin and death. He didn't say on the cross, I'm getting close to doing what I came to do. He said on the cross, it is finished. My work here is done. What you couldn't do, I have done. I've stormed the beaches, if you will, and I've created a beachhead for you. You now are free, if you choose to think right, to leave where you are and cross over onto the beachhead of the victory that Jesus has established for you. You can right now come on to the place of victory. It's like D-Day, 1944, June 6th, Normandy, in the beaches of Normandy. The Allied forces, they stormed these various beaches at great sacrifice and cost. Why? To establish a beachhead whereby all of these amphibious vehicles can arrive with hundreds of thousands of troops, tens of thousands of pieces of armor, and 100,000 tons of equipment now moving in to free a nation and to change the destiny of the entire world. Why? Because some valiant people paid the highest price to establish a beachhead. And once they did, everybody else knew there's still a war to be fought, but we're good to come to the beachhead called victory. And from this one victory, we now can move out into the fight. And that's what this verse is all about. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus, who gives us the Nikos, who gives us the finished and accomplished work of overwhelming the enemy, so that now we can move out from victory into victory. And that's the mindset. That's the mindset that God invited you here tonight to embrace and to carry all the days of your life. It looks like 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And what a promise it is. It says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, it says, "For we, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they, the weapons we fight with, have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive," hello, "every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We take captive every thought. So nothing is free-floating through our minds anymore, because we know we're standing on a beachhead of victory and we've got divine weapons at our disposal to tear down strongholds and every pretense that comes up against the knowledge of Jesus, and to take every thought captive in our lives to the obedience of Christ. Do you understand that you have the capacity in Christ to win the battle of your mind? And if I can just be so bold tonight, nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody else is going to come into your life and say, "Man, let me get up in your thought life and take captive all the things that are coming against you in your mind." This is the time for you to step up and go, "Christ already established a beachhead. I got to wake up and I've got to clue into what's going on. And I've got to take responsibility for my destiny in my future. I've got to take authority over what goes on in my mind and in my heart. In Christ, I have been given the opportunity to stand on a beachhead called victory. Why am I living in defeat?" And the only reason, the only answer is because you're allowing yourself to live in defeat. No, it is not because of your mother. It is not because of your dad or your stepdad or your grandparents or where you came from or what you can do or can't do or this condition or that condition. That is not why you're losing the battle of your mind. You are losing the battle of your mind because you're not willing to step up and say, "There is a fight to be fought, and I'm going to fight it, and I'm going to win the battle of my mind because I have the power of the finished work of Jesus. I am standing on victory, and I'm going to move from that victory, and I'm going to change the story. I am changing the story of the battle of my mind." So how do you take every thought captive? Number one, and you might want to write these down because your life might depend on it. Number one, you identify the thoughts. We are so agreeable. Man, you are worthless. Really? Why do you say that? Well, look at you. You're pathetic. Well, I mean, I know, but you don't have to like say it like that. I mean, what do you expect me to be? I mean, you know what I've been through, right? I deserve to be pathetic. If you've been through what I've been through, you'd be pathetic. Show me a little mercy here. Where's compassion? And we just host that thought. Would you like to get a cappuccino? I'm really feeling pathetic right now, and it's really bringing me down. Would you be willing to fight for my patheticness? Because I'm certainly not. So I need a friend to come along and one more time fight the fight of me feeling pathetic. Why don't we identify the thought to start with and say, before you like pitch a tent and start a little campfire, let's talk. Number one, where'd you come from? And number two, are you congruent with the Word of God? Two simple questions. Where'd you come from? Well, I just wanted you to know you're pathetic. And I know you knew that already, but I just wanted to remind you. Don't you feel pathetic? Well, I kind of actually do feel pretty lousy right now. Exactly. But you ask the question, where'd you come from? Well, let me ask you the question. Does your Heavenly Father want you to know that you're pathetic? See, he ran into the fire of hell to establish a beachhead for you called victory, where he took all the bullets and shed his blood so that you could come through him and stand in victory. So that God wants you to know that you're pathetic. Wrong. So I know right away, you didn't come from God. So you might want to not get that 10 out quite so quick. Number two, are you congruent with God's word? God's word says, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of a king. That's what God's word says. And sons and daughters of the king are not pathetic in the eyes of God. So A, you didn't come from God, and B, you don't match up with the word of God. So number two thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have to bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna have to bind you in that thought in the name of Jesus. You said, oh, look out, Louie, now you're sounding like, oh, you know, crazy. Yeah, crazy. Crazy like telling the devil he can't pitch a tent in your mind and in your heart. Just nuts, man. Totally off the rails, wacko. That a murderer can't pitch a tent in your mind. Not because you're like, hey, I'm not gonna hear it. I'm not listening to that, man. No, you got to get a little bit stronger than that. You got to use the name that is power. You got to use the name that is authority. You got to use the name that the demons in hell fear, not your name, but his name. And you got to say right away, you didn't come from God and you don't match up to the word of God. Therefore, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind this thought and where it came from. Let it go back to the pit of hell where it came from, bound up in Jesus' name. You're like, yeah. This is called taking authority and bringing every thought obedient, or some translations say captive, to the obedience of Jesus. Because one of two things is gonna happen. That thought is either gonna bind you or you're gonna bind it. So you better think quick. Somebody's getting bound. And you've got the power and the authority standing on victory in Jesus, to use that authority to bind that thought. But the enemy says, oh man, don't buy into all this business. Try it first. Give it 30 days first. Start using the name of Jesus with authority first and bind the thoughts that don't come from God and don't match the word of God. And how do you bind them? You bind them with the name of Jesus and with truth. That's what Jesus did. Jesus on the way to do the greatest thing that's ever been done. Jesus on the way to win victory in a beachhead from which you can go and live out your life in victory. But as he's getting ready to do this great thing, he's going to be tested, refined, and put in the fire so that he can come out pure gold and ready to step into the greatest thing that's ever been done on planet Earth. So you would guess, doing the greatest thing that's ever been done on planet Earth, you're going to go through the greatest testing on planet Earth. Little lesson from Jesus today, by the way. If you want to do something great, get ready to be tested greatly. We get tested greatly. We're like, Jesus, what are you, man, you got to get me out of this. He's like, excuse me? Did you read my story? Jesus, this is really, really hard right now. Going through a really hard desert testing time. I need you. He's like, did you not read my story? God wants you to do something great. You better get ready to be tested greatly so that you can be trusted greatly. And in the great testing, what happened? The enemy comes with torpedoes at the weakest moment. Turn the stones into bread. Jump off the top of the temple. Make a big show and watch the angels catch you. Let everybody know how great you are. And then, hey, here's the ticket. You don't have to go to that cross. You just bow down right here and worship me. I'm the prince of the power of the air. I'll give you control over everything you see. Jesus is like, man, you don't understand. I'm going to crush your head. You don't understand. I'm going to shut you up. You don't understand. I am here on a mission from the very first word spoken in the Garden of Eden. You don't understand. You're about to give me some body blows, but I'm going to take you out. Yeah. And how did he do it? How did he do it? He did it with the word of truth. And he bound every lie with truth. It says, don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It says, don't put God to the test. It says, love the Lord your God and worship him only. I'm binding you up, Satan, with truth. So how are you going to bind up every thought and take it captive? With truth. So you're going to have to learn some truth. Oh, I know you're destroying your CrossFit box. And that's amazing. I am too. Surprised I haven't seen you there. I must be leaving before you get there. But while you're destroying your CrossFit box, you don't know 25 verses of scripture. And you're like, man, I'm telling you, I got all these crazy thoughts going on in my mind, man. I mean, some real crazy ones. I even had one the other day like, man, it'd be better off for everybody if you weren't here. And I've been thinking about that. Why? Because you didn't examine that thought. Where did it come from? Definitely not my Heavenly Father. Does it match up with God's word? 100% contrary to everything God has to say about my life. Therefore, I bind that thought in the name of Jesus, and I'm gonna start wrapping truth around that thought because I know the word and I know the truth, and I'm gonna use the truth now to bind up that thought before that thought binds up me. If you want victory, you're going to have to fight. If you're not ready to fight, you are not going to win. And if you don't want to fight, then you are going to lose the battle of your mind. And once you lose the battle of your mind, you are done. But you can start winning the battle of your mind sitting in the chair right now. You don't even have to wait until tomorrow morning. You can start winning the battle of your mind sitting there right now. Deuteronomy, I love the picture he gave us. Check this out in chapter 11. Be careful, or you'll be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. That sounds like the story we just told. So what's the solution? Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. That land, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. The Orthodox Jews took this literally, some of them still do, and they wrap with the leather strap the little box of the promise of the Torah on their hand and on their arm. Have you seen that? And then they take another strap and they wrap the little box with the promise of God's word right between their eyes on their forehead. Now, I don't know that you need to literalize Deuteronomy 11, but we better get ready wrapping some of God's word around our hands and wrapping some of God's word around our forehead so that his promise is right between our eyes. So that when the enemy comes to take up residence in the thoughts and the minds of God's people, he's met with a strong resistance. People who are standing on a beachhead called Victory Beach. And who said, oh, no. No, we're not going to harbor that thought here because that is not from God. And I refuse, as a son of the king, as a daughter of the Almighty, to spend one more day with you pitching a tent in my mind. You can pack up your tent and put out your fire and roll on out of here to somebody else's mind who doesn't have the word of God right between their eyes. Identify the thought, bind it up with the word of God in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, change the narrative. Change what you're thinking about. Man, I'm stuck in this thing. I'm stuck in this deal. I'm stuck in this fear. I'm stuck in this worry. I'm stuck in this temptation. I'm stuck in these feelings about how I'm not good enough. I'm stuck in all this uncertainty and cloud and fogginess in my life. Well, then change what you're thinking about. Hello? You get to control the playlist of your mind. You're the DJ of your own thoughts. And you need to take control, and you need to do what Philippians 4:8 says. Simple and clear, but a fight nonetheless. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, can you say true? Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, change the narrative. Don't sit back and go, I don't know what kind of thoughts are coming today. Change the narrative. I woke up today. A friend of mine told me at lunch today, he was shocked when I said this morning. It just makes me laugh. I woke up today unsettled, early. I didn't even look at my phone because I didn't want to. I'm coming in here to share this word, and the enemy isn't going, hey man, good job working on the talk. Hope it goes awesome today. I'm guessing you're gonna like knock the crud out of me today. Somebody's gonna get set free. Good on you, man. No, when I woke up this morning, whatever time it was, laying in bed before I ever put one foot on the ground, the enemy came with a barrage of negative thoughts and planted them in my mind. You're like, that's crazy, Louis. Surely that didn't happen. Didn't the angels play the trumpets when you woke up and you came flying over here to 515 in a chariot? Well, the chariot part I did do, but the trumpets did not this morning. Man, I was like, all this negativity downloading. Isn't that the way the enemy does? He just comes before we even get on our feet and downloads negativity into our minds. He ruins some of your days before you ever get your feet on the floor. Your day is ruined. And I was like, man, I need help. I said that. I said, Lord, I need help. He goes, well, you need a new narrative. I was like, I do need a new narrative. And immediately the word of God came to me. You're like, yeah, that's the part I'm having trouble with. How did that happen? Well, it happened because I'm doing a soap journey through Joshua right now. Did all 5 days this week. I only do it 5 days a week, not on the weekend. My partner only did three. Pray for him. I love you if you're listening to this. And in my 5 days of reading in Joshua, the word of the Lord came to me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I went, can I get in on that today? I want to be a Joshua. Anybody else want to be a Joshua? I want to be a Caleb. Anybody else want to be a Caleb in the house right now? Can I get in on that? Can Jennifer get on that? Can Karen get in on that? Can Kara get in on that? Yes, if you want to be a Joshua in your generation, you can claim that promise for your life. As you were with Moses, so you will be with me. So my new narrative before I got out of bed was, as you were with Moses, so you'll be with me. As I'm driving to church today, as you were with Moses, so you'll be with me. Every time the enemy would try to camp out with one of those negative thoughts again, as you were with Moses, so you'll be with me. As you were with Moses, so you'll be with me. As you were with Moses, so you'll be with me. I don't know what's going to see. I don't know the circumstance, situation, but I know this. As you were with Moses, the same God, you will be with me. I'm going to change the narrative for my life. I'm not waiting for the circumstance to change or the enemy to go, I'm going to give you a pass today, Louie. We're going to send you some notes tomorrow if you want them. I don't know how you're going to get them. Maybe somebody will tell us that. But we're going to send notes after every one of these talks by email. Something for you to carry on into your week tomorrow. And I hope they'll include this. Maybe Monday's narrative could be, my God knows my name, Isaiah 43:1. Start telling yourself that story before your feet hit the ground, and don't stop telling it to yourself until you get back in bed and close your eyes. My God knows my name. Tuesday's narrative, gonna be, my God goes before me, Isaiah 42:12. You're not going through one door this week that God isn't going through before you. Not into one conversation, one situation, one circumstance, not one challenge, one test, not one trial, not one joy, not one sorrow, that the God of heaven doesn't go before you. Wednesday's narrative is going to be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Thursday's narrative is going to be, my present suffering pales in comparison to my future glory, Romans 8:18. Friday's narrative is going to be, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, Isaiah 54:17. Saturday's narrative is going to be, I am a child of God, Romans 8:16. And Sunday's narrative, man, if we all came back with this narrative, it'll be on fire in here next week, Lord willing. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, Ephesians 1:18 to 20. Lastly, we're going to talk a lot more about this in the next few weeks. Act on the truth. I identified the thought. I bound it in Jesus' name and by the word of God. I changed the narrative, number three, and started thinking about things that are true. And number four, I acted on the true thing I was thinking about. That means if you're walking through the whole day going, I am a child of God, I am a child of God, I am a child of God, then every time you get an opportunity, act like a child of God. And number five, repeat. And guess what? You're gonna repeat this all day long. Some of you are gonna repeat this till the day you die. Some of you are gonna repeat this 100 times a day for the rest of your life. But when you do, you are gonna take back your freedom, and you are going to win the battle of your mind. You are going to take authority over your mind and your heart. You don't have to. You might be too lazy. Wow, that came out a little strong. Let me back up. But it's true. I'll just go with it. It's out there. You might be too lazy to do this. Because this ain't Netflix. This ain't sitting back and just pushing buttons. You gotta like get involved. You gotta like get up. You gotta like get in the fight. You gotta like get an attitude. You gotta get some kind of situation going in your mind of saying, I'm changing this. I'm sick and tired of living defeated. I'm not living defeated anymore. I am not living in fear anymore. I'm not living like this because there is a beachhead of victory won for me. I'm not gonna be like this the rest of my life. All the rest of y'all can, but I am not. But you don't have to. You can choose the wilderness mentality. We look like giants in their eyes. when you don't know what you look like in their eyes. I was reading Joshua. They sent two spies into Jericho when they got ready to cross the river. Moses died. Joshua is now in charge. I'm closing with this. Sent two spies then. They went to Rahab, remember? And what did Rahab say? You look like grasshoppers. We're just gonna step on you and grind you into the floor. You little grasshoppers. No. She said, you guys have no idea. Everyone's hearts are melting because of what your God did at the Red Sea. Everyone is shaking in their boots because of your God. Can you imagine being one of those spies and going, are you kidding me? We lived 40 years and died in the wilderness, and the whole time we did not look like grasshoppers. We were those who the God who made your hearts melt at the testimony of what he has done. Don't you let the enemy lie to you about who you are, whose you are, what kind of capacity you have in Jesus, what's been won for you and what has been done for you. Do not let the enemy convince you that you cannot, when God already has told you that he can, and he can through you. Now you can walk out of here. You can walk right out the door tonight and say, I'm choosing to go back to a wilderness mentality. I'm gonna wander around and hope I get manna. Hope I get some assistance program. Because I'm just not willing to fight the fight, cross the river, believe God, take down the walls of Jericho, praise in the middle of the difficulty in the battle, till the soul, cultivate the land, plant the seed, see the harvest, bear the fruit, see the crops, and live in the life of the promise of what God has done for me. You can live in the wilderness mentality, but I'm telling you, Jesus has stormed the gates of hell. And if you want to, you can come up onto the beachhead called victory.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.